This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome into episode 176 of the Skate Podcast. I'm Brian DeFelice, joined by Scott McLaughlin today. No Bridget Pru with us. She's off in vacation land. Scott, I know we're a little bit jealous, although the weather was pretty nice in Boston today. It was about 60 degrees, so not too bad.
Yeah, I would rather be at TD Garden than the Bahamas for sure, all the time. I don't know what the popcorn situation is in the Bahamas. You know, just the unknown scares me. I know I got my popcorn in the press box, so.
Yes, definitely. That's the Bahamas is not known for their popcorn, that's for sure. But also at the TD Garden, as you mentioned. So the Bruins get their 54th win of the season tonight against the Ottawa Senators, who up until recently were in a dogfight for the wild card spot, but they've dropped out a little bit as of late. We got to look at Jacob Chychrun, their newest acquisition at the deadline, up in Ottawa. Didn't help them win, though. Bruins were able to sneak by with a 2-1 win. Goals from Krejci and Jake DeBrusk. So yet again, DeBrusk kind of continuing his hot streak, and Marchand gets an assist on that play as well. Bergeron as well, I believe, or maybe Bergeron assisted on Krejci's goal, but either way, those guys are they're still scoring. After a bit of a slump these last three games, they've been the difference makers.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think it's kind of like a combination of a few different things. You know, Marchand a couple weeks ago said he's still not really feeling himself, and you know, wasn't where he expected to be, and he said again tonight, you know, he's still not quite there, but he's feeling better. So I think he's gotten going a bit. DeBrusk, I was talking to him after the game, and he sort of said, you know, when he first came back to the lineup, he had like all this energy from missing all this time. And then like, as he played a few games, it kind of set in that, okay, it's not automatically 100%. Like, okay, there's still some soreness, like got to kind of manage it. And then he felt like he hit a little bit of a lull individually, and now he's going again. And so, you know, I think it's like they've all kind of gotten going again together. Inevitable. They're too talented to stay down for too long, even if, you know, Marchand isn't quite prime Brad Marchand. Bergeron's on a little bit or whatever, like they're going to figure it out. They're going to be effective. You know, in the last podcast, I mentioned how they'd given up some goals during that last stretch, which was uncharacteristic. They're clamping it down, which again is like expected that they're going to do that. They're not just going to slip defensively and struggle for more than three or four games like that. They're just too good. Yeah, I think you saw DeBrusk make a great play on the back check tonight. You saw Bergeron break up some passes on the back check. All three of them part of what the penalty kill is going to look like for a while now with Derek Forbort out, and all three, you know, played a role there. Ottawa goes over three in the power play. So yeah, they've definitely gotten going, and you want to see them finish the season strong, because obviously, you know, I've said before, like the check line is, they've kind of been the most consistent offensive line, but that top line is still going to be the one that's going to, you know, they're going to get a ton of tough matchups. And so you want them feeling good. And I think they've started to feel better these last few games.
Yeah, no, it's vital for this team. I mean, obviously, we've seen that a top line can be shut down over the course of a playoff series. So the benefit for the Bruins this year is that they have, you know, they really have two top lines, and they have about, I mean, the third line is more of a second line, and the fourth line, I guess you could say, is a fourth line. But regardless, they, yes, so that them getting their groove back again, we knew it was inevitable. It was just a matter of when. And would it be with enough time to kind of get their mojo going before the playoffs? And, you know, it's not as easy as it seems, because you have to rest guys and manage minutes. And if you're slumping, it's guys are less prone to be receptive to those things. But now that they've gotten some confidence going, I feel like, you know, they're okay with taking a rest here and there because they're feeling better about their games. You mentioned Derek Forbert out of the lineup. Do you want to give a quick update, Scott, on him? And I think he's out for the regular season, right?
Yeah, Jim Montgomery said at Tuesday's morning skate that they don't anticipate Forbert being back before the end of the regular season, which is kind of the same language they used with Hall and Foligno. And the other injury updates from Tuesday is Taylor Hall was on the ice before morning skate and then stayed on for morning skate in a red no contact jersey. He led the center ice stretch, which is, you know, usually kind of when guys come back from an injury, like that's, you know, they get that. And Foligno was seen skating on his own. I wasn't there for morning skate Tuesday, but, you know, everyone else who was there and then what Montgomery said after. So Foligno's back on the ice, which is a good sign, because the last time we saw him, you know, at the Garden or around Warrior, he still had a brace on his legs. So, you know, that was during their last homestand before the team's road trip, you know, so basically 2 weeks ago. So two encouraging signs there, but obviously, you know, some disappointing news on Forbert. You know, they still have six regular defensemen who are healthy, and those are the six who played Tuesday night. I do think Zboril's going to get some more games. I think they will still rotate defensemen out here and there. So, you know, and now they're going to see what their penalty kill looks like without Forbert, right? Because that was the most noticeable area that his absence showed up earlier this season when he was out with the broken hand for, you know, almost a month, was their penalty kill clearly dropped off. At the time he got hurt, they're at like 90% as a team, and then it dropped always down to 76% with him out. So far, with him out this time, the penalty kill's been really solid these last three games. So, you know, Jim Montgomery highlighted guys like Lindholm and Orlov stepping up, especially in, you know, that left spot on the PK, left defense spot. So I guess it's not a silver lining. That's not the right word, but it's an opportunity now to see, you know, okay, what is your penalty kill without Derek Forbert? Because that stretch, you know, when he was out with the broken hand, that was in November. That was a long time ago. So how, you know, that doesn't really mean a whole lot in March and April. So now you have another chance to figure out, you know, what this group is without him.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, they still won't be as good as with him in there. Just, you know, it'd be great if they could make up the difference a little bit. But obviously the optimal situation is that he's back in time for the playoffs. And we don't really know if that's the case, right? Because they're being kind of vague about it.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll probably be close, like maybe right on, you know, same kind of timeline as Foligno, where it's like, could be very end of the regular season, could be early in the playoffs type thing. But yeah, they are leaving it pretty vague.
I mean, I think that'd be a pretty big loss for them, quite frankly. I think he's been I know you've mentioned Scott in the past that his position in the top six defense isn't solidified, and I understand why you would say that, but I really just feel like what he brings to that penalty kill, and I guess we'll see without him right this time around, but just his size and ability to eat shots, I just feel like it's invaluable in the playoffs. Like, that does that mean I'm calling him a Norris caliber player? Yeah, I guess it, no, I'm just kidding. But you know, he brings a very, very vital element to a cup hopeful team, right? And so I think that's a pretty tough loss. And if he is down, somebody else is going to have to sit there and you know, try to embrace that role and eat some shots, because nobody wants to eat shots, and Derek Forbert for some reason loves to do it. So you can't discount that, right? But I guess we'll see how it plays out.
Right. And, you know, the counter could be like, you know, because I wrote about this the other day, or, you know, last week or whatever, when Forbert had kind of just got hurt and we didn't know it was going to be this long. Basically what you were just saying about, you know, who could actually, you know, who will actually be out and all that and what it can look like. And I was curious to see, like, what can the penalty kill do without him? And I wrote it basically the way you just said, like, you know, some, when Forbert's in there, that saves, you know, Lindholm, Orlov, McAvoy from having to step in front of more one-timers. And Matt Porter, the Globe, you know, that had like pretty good response, which is doesn't necessarily mean, you know, those guys have to step in front of more one-timers. Like, it could be, you know, maybe the penalty kill is closing on plays better with those guys. Maybe you get more clears. Maybe, you know, teams don't have the space to set up one-timers as much. Like, you know, Forbert, as great as that is, like, he's not the quickest skater. So maybe he's, you know, at like, if you were looking for potential advantages of those other guys, like, maybe they just close on plays faster, win pucks back, don't give guys the space to get one-timers off. So now there's going to be a long stretch here where we're going to see if that's actually how it plays out. You know, if we get a couple of weeks from now and teams are teeing off on the power play and their penalty kill isn't really holding up, then yeah, it's going to be pretty obvious that they missed Derek Forbert there. If they lock it down and close the regular season really strong on the PK, then I think my case of, you know, their best 5-on-5 D lineup to me probably doesn't have Forbert in it. You know, I think their six best 5-on-5 defenders are McAvoy, Lindholm, Orlov, Grizzlick, Carlo, Clifton. Maybe that becomes, you know, something they might more seriously consider if the penalty kill is able to hold up down the stretch.
I guess time will tell, and I don't disagree with you on that as far as 5-on-5 lineups. But analytically, you are correct. I think objectively, you would say you're correct. So, but I think there's an argument to be had about certain intangibles that don't show up in the analytics, and one being size and the ability to, you know, take those, like we talked about, just those shots that you just don't want a Matt Grizzlick taking or a McAvoy or whatever. And I hear Matt Porter's point. That's valid. I still think, you know, shot blocking in the PK is inevitable no matter how much you close, but I hear his point, though.
And, you know, to the other side of it, like, we've talked about this on Sunday Skate, and Razor is strongly in favor. Like, he's like, as a goalie, I want Derek Forbert out there, period. Like, that's, yeah. I want him in the lineup. I want him on the penalty kill. So yeah. That's, you know, that's obviously also a very valuable perspective, is sure. Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman would, you know, probably tell you the same thing.
Mm-hmm.